Exodus is the story of God bringing his people out of bondage. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell shares how you can break the chains that enslave you.
When we fear the Lord, we're going to make right decisions. It doesn't matter what the old boy club wants us to do. It doesn't matter what people are saying on Facebook. It doesn't matter what some other teenagers are doing. I've got a greater fear in my heart for God than I do for these people, you see. That's how Moses was. Moses had a great respect and awe for God in his heart.
The story of Israel is the story of us today. We are God's people, and He has drawn us out of bondage into a personal relationship with Him. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Out of Bondage, we will learn the story of Exodus, grow in our awe and worship of God, and celebrate the one who can deliver us from the bondage of sin, fear, and guilt. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Breaking Out of Satan's Compromise.
In the nation of Egypt, people would worship the very animals that the Jews were going to sacrifice. So they would worship the ram. They would worship the innocent lamb. They were polytheistic. They worshiped many different kinds of God. The god Isis, many other gods they worshiped in Egypt. And so what Moses was saying is, Pharaoh, if we stay in the middle of Egypt, we're going to be killing the very stuff that you worship. In fact, notice what he says there in verse number 26. He says, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us? In other words, if we kill these animals, they're going to stone us because we're violating their law right in front of them. So Moses refuses to stay in the land. In fact, Moses decides to obey God. Verse 27, notice it says, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness to sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. Moses said, Pharaoh, I don't care how much pressure you put on me, I am going to go 3 days with God. I don't care if people make fun of us. I don't care if we look like nuts. We're going to go out in the middle of the desert. We're going to worship God the way that he said we should. Would be to God that every teenager that is tempted with some type of premarital sex or some type of drinking or some type of drug, would be to God that every Christian teenager that's tempted to live an ungodly life would say, I'm going to obey God, and I don't care who makes fun of me. I'm not staying there. I'm going to come out here and obey God. Now, this is the spirit of the text. The spirit of the text is that we need a courageous response when we are tempted to compromise. And so we see the temptation to conform. Folks, it's so subtle and it comes upon us and we don't even recognize how the good old boys want us to conform and how sometimes the television's pushing us to conform and so forth. And we see here, first of all, the temptation to conform. Notice secondly, there is the temptation to compromise. Now, notice what Pharaoh says in verse 28. This is amazing. Pharaoh said, I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away. Now, compromise is keeping oneself close enough to the world to still be influenced by it and yet kept in bondage by it. So what Satan is saying is, all right, look it, you can go worship God, just don't get carried away with it. Just don't go all the way with this thing. Notice the key phrase in verse 28. Ye shall not go very far away. You know, you don't need to do like the Sunday night, for heaven's sake. You don't need to, you know, do like the discipling. I mean, you can go along with this Christianity, Satan says. Just don't go too far with it. And he says that to many, many people today. And it's amazing to me how many churches are accommodating that. People want less, so they give less. They want less preaching, they give less preaching. More entertainment, they give it. Why? Because there's this idea that people don't want to go very far. By the way, how many of you know we're not here to worship each other, we're here to worship God today. That's the purpose of it, to worship the living God. Now, let me just pull over here for just a quick minute to say, Jesus is not the road marker or the map. Jesus is exactly what the Bible said. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But you see, when the devil says, don't go very far, I mean, don't be so adamant, don't be so fundamental about, you know, Jesus, don't get so carried away with it. Pretty soon you have what we call an accommodating theology. That is, where even churches begin to accommodate the world's belief into their philosophy. And so we see that there is, first of all here, a compromising proposal that is made. Don't go too far away. And oh, how we need to be careful with that. Because of peer pressure, many times a girl feels weird to be modest, or a boy feels weird not to cuss, and they feel weird to carry a Bible maybe to lunch, or whatever. And we need to recognize we're not called to be weirdos or idiots, but we're called to be different. And listen, the men and women who have changed this world are the men and women the world could not change. And God is calling on us to be faithful today in our generation. I love the quote found in the Bible Exposition Commentary. Don't go too far away, the enemy whispers, or people will call you a fanatic. Demolish that proposal. The enemy says, don't go too far away. Well, you don't want to be a fanatic. Now, I get a kick out of that, because how many of you know Dodger fans don't mind being called Dodger fans? Right? Green Bay Packer fans, fans wear cheese on their head. They don't mind being fanatic for their team. Listen, never be ashamed of being a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. Just simply recognize that it's our privilege. In James chapter 4 and verse 4 says it this way, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. So when Pharaoh said, hey Moses, look at you can go, but just stay right here close to the world. Don't go too far. Moses knew that just wasn't going to be the case. You can't be the friend of the world and the friend of God, and many Christians today want both ways. And God was simply saying to Moses, Moses, I want you to go 3 days journey. I want you to come out and be separate and worship me with your whole attention. And so Pharaoh said, stay near to the world, stay connected to the world. But God says, love not the world. You know what I found? Sometimes we fear men so much because we fear God so little. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Say it with me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of. So when we fear the Lord, we're going to make right decisions. It doesn't matter what the old boy club wants us to do. It doesn't matter what people are saying on Facebook. It doesn't matter what some other teenagers are doing. I've got a greater fear in my heart for God than I do for these people, you see. That's how Moses was. Moses had a great respect and awe for God in his heart. So here we see a compromising proposal. Notice a very considerate response. Moses in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 30. Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses and removed the swarm of the flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Look at this, Exodus 8:31. And there remained not one. How many of you would agree with me if there was not one fly left in Egypt, that was a miracle? I mean, that's like the 11th miracle in this story, I'm telling you right now. So, you know, Moses goes out and he actually prays for Pharaoh. I mean, what a considerate and godly man. But Pharaoh kept tempting him. He said, first of all, look at Moses. Why don't you just stay in the land? Just be like us. Don't be too different. And he's trying to tell some of you that. Yeah, go to church, but don't change anything else. And then he says, all right, Moses, look at you can worship your God, but don't go too far with this thing. Don't get carried away. And so it is. Many Christians are kind of accommodating the world today. Well, notice thirdly, a third temptation. Maybe you've been tempted to conform. Maybe you've been tempted to compromise your convictions. But notice the third one, a temptation to corrupt. And every one of you that have children, I want you to pay attention for the next 5 minutes, because I want you to know that Satan wants to corrupt families. He wants to divide families. In other words, he's like, all right, you can have the old generation, but give me the kids. That's the devil's. Listen, that didn't start with communism. That started with Satan. Say, really? All right, well, let's look at what he says here. Exodus 10. Everybody got your Bible open? All right, Exodus 10:8. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go? So now he's not talking about where, now he's saying who's going to go with you, right? Look at this. And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old and with our sons and with our daughters and with our flocks and with our herds we will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. How many of you get the idea? Moses was sold out lock, stock, and barrel. I mean, everything and everyone was going to go and worship the Lord. Verse 10, and he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you. This is what the Lord said to Moses. Verse 11, this is Pharaoh. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. So notice here a divisive proposal. And here's the proposal of Pharaoh. It divides family unity. Pharaoh is saying this. You take the men, but leave the women and the children behind. And this is what the devil says today. Oh, you can have, you know, the greatest generation. You can have those people that want to have their tent meeting and sing to the Lord and have their time of worship. That's for the old fogies anyway. But let the children stay behind and watch HBO and play demonic games. And just leave the children behind, Moses. You can go out there and do the religious thing, but you leave the children behind. By the way, Karl Marx, the infamous communist, said the education of all children from the moment that they can get along without a mother's care shall be in state institutions at state expense. And many Christians, and I'm not speaking to any one person here today, I hope you're not doing this, but many Christians today, if they were honest, they're allowing the public school and the media to influence their children more than they influence their children. Now I'm talking about a public school system that teaches that we all came from monkeys and all of these types of things, and we let them become indoctrinated with these wicked philosophies, and then we let them come home and watch it on the television, and you're doing exactly what the devil wants. Hey, you do your little church thing out there, but give me the minds of your children. And that is exactly what the devil wants us to do, and that's how he divides families. And oh, how we need to have a passion. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Many people say, well, we just let our children make up their own mind. They're good kids. They're rotten sinners. What are you talking about? And I'm just telling you, people who say, well, I just let my children make up their own mind, that's not what the Bible says. You're listening to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's like, hey, just keep your kids here in Egypt. You go out there and do the worship thing, but I'll take care of the children. It's like the devil's plan, you see, to separate a family. Little boy came to school late, and he walked into class, and his teacher said, where have you been? He said, I'm sorry, I just running late, and my mom and dad were fighting. The teacher said, well, I'm sorry to hear that, but you live three doors down from the school. I mean, you could have just gotten here. He said, no, ma'am. He said, you see, my mom had one shoe, one of my shoes in one hand, and my dad had one of my shoes in the other hand. There's a lot of families like that today, divided. Listen, husbands and wives, walk with Jesus together. Defer to one another. And obey the Lord together and bring your children on the journey. You see, here this proposal divides family unity. It destroys family heritage. Notice this, if you would, the destroying of family heritage. Verse 11, not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for ye did this ye did desire. You see, Pharaoh is saying, all right, you guys go, but let's not have the whole family in the heritage. Let's not all of us be so committed. So there is a divisive proposal, but notice a committed response. Verse 9. Did you see what Moses said in verse 9? We will go with our young, with our old, with our sons, with our daughters, with our flocks, with our herd. We will go. Thank the Lord again for men in this room who said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And when our kids hit those teenage years, they get a little rebellious and they want to ask why, I'm going to tell them the best I can, but I'm going to show them through my life by a consistent example. I'm going to pray for my children. I'm going to model faithfulness before my children. I'm going to talk about the Bible and God and creation and mercy and God's love, and I'm going to be a faithful testimony before them. And so we see here Pharaoh tempting to conform, tempting to compromise. Don't go very far. tempting to corrupt families by dividing the children away from their parents. And then notice finally this morning, there's this temptation to concede. How many of you have noticed the devil never stops fighting? He just never stops fighting. And I want you to see that in chapter 10 and verse 24. The Bible says in chapter 10 and verse 24, "And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, Thou must give us sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God." So here's the concession. It is a material concession. And so Pharaoh says, all right, look, I'm tired of the lice. I'm tired of the flies. I'm tired of all these plagues. Go ahead. You can go. You can take your wife and kids. Take them with you. Just don't take your cattle and your herds. So again, the devil's saying, you can sell out to God, but not all the way. Now, back then, they didn't have BMWs and Hyundais and Kawasaki's and Suzuki's. They had flocks and herds. And so what Pharaoh was saying is, I want you to come back here and be my slaves some more. And what the devil's saying is, I don't want to lose my grip on you. So you can go out there, but now don't take your material possessions. Don't take your flocks and your herds. And yet that was impossible for Moses. Why? Because giving was a part of the way they would worship. In other words, they needed their flocks and herds to provide sacrifices unto the Lord, to stay there. Genesis chapter 46 tells us about Israel or Jacob who took his journey. And notice it says, with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. In other words, God says, I want you to come with your whole life and follow after me. When the wise men in Matthew 2 and verse 11 came to Jesus and they found the babe in Mary, his mother, they fell down and worshiped him and they opened their treasures and they presented unto him gifts and treasures, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Listen, even the unsaved in this world believe that if there's a God that you believe is God, you will come to him and you will offer sacrifice to that God. And many of you, you've come to church, you've brought your children, you've overcome some of those compromises, but then when it's time maybe to give something to the missionaries, the devil's there saying, hey, listen now, be careful now, don't get all in like that, be careful, don't get too carried away. But Moses realized that giving was a part of their worship and that giving was a reflection of the heart. And the devil knows when you start giving, then your heart follows that gift and your heart gets involved. Luke 12, 34, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So look in your notes for a moment at 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you gotten to the place where you have said to the Lord, Lord, every good gift in my life comes from you. And Lord, this car is yours. And Lord, this house is yours. And these clothes are yours. This computer is yours. These children are yours. It's all yours, Lord. And I want you to be glorified. And whatever you want, Lord, it's yours. And someone says, oh, that sounds a little weird. Does it? Have you ever considered what the Bible says? What? Know ye not that you've been bought with a price? How many of you are thankful that Jesus priced, that he shed his blood to cover your sin? See, here, God just says, Moses, I want you to come. How many days journey? How many?
Three.
Just a little ways?
Three.
I want you to come 3 days journey. I want you to bring your wife, your children, and everything that's meaningful to you. And I want you to be willing to make a sacrifice. I want you to worship me. The word means to ascribe worth. To say, Lord, we count you worthy. Lord, we trust you to replenish what we have given. We worship you. Pharaoh tried a material concession. Some of you may have sensed this when the devil says in your heart, yeah, you don't need to really like give or anything. Don't get carried away with this thing. I mean, just because for 6,000 years believers have honored God that way, you can start a brand new tradition and you can be a Burger King Christian and have it your way. That's what Pharaoh says. Have it your way. Material concession, and then there's a spiritual conviction. This conviction of Moses is amazing to me. Exodus 10:25, notice what it says. And Moses said, Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Notice this. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. Someone, I can hear someone saying, oh, Moses, what a fundamentalist. My goodness. Everything, everyone, every hoof. I mean, does it really all have to belong to God? Notice what he says. For therefore, thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. In other words, he says, we don't know how much sacrifice. We don't know what it's going to take to feed all these people. We need to take everything with us. 1 Chronicles 29:14. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. This is all I want you to remember this morning. There's a God who loves you, and he wants fellowship with you. I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. There's a Pharaoh called the devil who's going to try to pull you back and pull you back and do everything he can so that you don't become a fully committed Christian. And he's going to offer you a lot of little compromises along the way. Four that we find in the Bible. Number one, the compromise to conform. Hey, you can have a bumper sticker that says you love Jesus. You can know a few of the songs, but look at, just stay, you know, kind of stay in the mix of the worldly things. It's okay if you want to, you know, find some Christian friends, just slam down some vodka, as long as you praise Jesus on Sunday, it's all right. Look at, just stay in the world. And then there's the temptation to compromise. All right, if you want to be a little different, you can go a little ways, but don't go too far. You got to still know some of those choice words when you get mad. You got to be able to really converse in the worldly things, you know. Even though the Bible says that, you know, we're to be wise to the good and we're to be simple to the evil, it's okay to know some of the evil. And then there's this third temptation. And that temptation is to just kind of let the devil have his way with your family. You can love God, but it doesn't matter if everyone else does in your family. And then the fourth one is to concede in the area of, you know, all right, I'll go to church and everything, but I'm not gonna really get involved with my treasure. I'll concede that to the devil. He can have the treasure. And if he does, he will soon have your heart. Now, I want you to turn to one final verse, and then we'll be done. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Is everybody still with me? Four temptations to compromise. And I don't know about you, sometimes it might be overwhelming how the devil can come at you and try to pull you back. Sometimes you feel it, but you don't even know what's going on. But I've got some good news as we close. 1 Corinthians 10:13, and I want you to read this with me. So everybody grab a Bible and share with a neighbor, because we want to get this right from the Bible. 1 Corinthians 10:13. You got your Bible? Then let's read it together. Ready? Begin. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Make a way to escape. God says, when that Pharaoh comes and he's telling you, do it my way, there's a way to escape that. And here's the way. Here's the way to escape it. Obey the word of God. Moses just wouldn't let go of what God said. He wouldn't let go of it. He wouldn't let go of it. When Satan came to Jesus after 40 days of fasting, and Satan said, if you're the Son of God, turn those rocks into bread. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchappell.com. and thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.